It was 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and have him put to death. But they said, "This must not happen during the festivities, or there'll be a riot among the people." Now, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, came to the chief priests with an offer to hand Jesus over to them. They were greatly pleased, and they promised to give him money. And he began to look for a good opportunity when to betray him. On the first day of Unleavened Bread, that is, the day when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, two of his disciples went to the city and prepared the Passover. When evening came, he arrived with the 12. And when they were at table eating, Jesus said, "One of you is about to betray me. One of you eating with me." And they became distressed and said one after the other, "Not I, surely." And he said, "It's one of the 12, one who's dipping into the same dish with me. Yes, the Son of Man is going to his fate, as the scriptures say that he will. But alas for that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after saying the blessing, he broke it and he gave it to them. "Take it," he said, "this is my body." A little later, he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the covenant poured out for many. In truth, I tell you, I will never drink wine any more until the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God." After the Psalms had been sung, they left for the Mount of Olives. And he said to his disciples, "You will all fall away from me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' However, after my resurrection, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Then Peter said, "Even if all fall away from you, I will not." But Jesus said to him, "In truth, I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will have disowned me 3 times. But Peter disagreed still more earnestly, saying, "Even if I have to die with you, I would never disown you." And they all said the same. And they came to a plot of land called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Stay here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John. And he began to feel terror and anguish. And he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful to the point of death. Wait here and stay awake." Going on a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, this hour would pass him by. "Abba, Father," he said, "with you all things are possible. Please take this cup from me, but may it be as you, not as I would have it." And he returned and found his disciples sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, could you not stay awake 1 hour? Stay awake and pray not to be put to the test. The spirit is willing, but human nature is weak." Once again, he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he returned and found them sleeping. Their eyelids were so heavy, they could make no answer for him. And he came back a third time. And he said to them, "You can sleep on now. Have your rest. It's over. The time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up! Let's go! My betrayer's not far away." And as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up. And with him, a number of men armed with swords and clubs, sent by the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now, the traitor had arranged a signal with them, saying, "The one who I kiss, he is the man. Arrest him and make sure he is well guarded when you lead him away." Now, when the traitor came up, he went straight to Jesus, and he said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. And the others seized him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew out his sword and struck at the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. And then Jesus spoke, "Am I a bandit," he said, "that you come out here with swords and clubs to arrest me? In truth, I tell you, I was among you teaching in the temple day after day. You never laid a hand on me. But this is to fulfill the scriptures." And everyone deserted him and ran away. There was a young man following with nothing on but a linen cloth. They took hold of him, but he left the cloth in their hands and ran away naked. And they took Jesus to the high priests, and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders all assembled there. Peter followed at a distance right into the high priest's courtyard and sat with the attendants warming themselves at the fire. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the Sanhedrin were looking for evidence with which to have Jesus executed, but they couldn't find any. Many stood up and offered false witness against him, but their evidence was conflicting. And some stood up and offered this false evidence, saying, "We heard him say that I will destroy the temple made by human hands and in 3 days build another, not made by human hands." But even at this point, their testimony was conflicting. Then the high priest rose before the whole assembly and put this question to Jesus. "Have you nothing to say to this? What is this evidence these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and answered him nothing. The high priest put a second question to him, saying, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power, coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his robes and said, "What need of witnesses have we now? You've heard the blasphemy. What is your finding?" Their verdict was unanimous. He deserved to die. And they began spitting at his face and hitting him, saying, "Play the prophet." And the attendants, they struck him too. And while Peter was down below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's servant girls came up. She saw Peter warming himself there, looked closely at him, and said, "You too were with Jesus, that man from Nazareth." But he denied it. "I don't know. I don't understand what you're talking about." And he went into the forecourt, and a cock crowed. And again, the servant girl saw him and started saying to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again, he denied it. A little while later, the bystanders themselves said, "You're certainly one of them. You're a Galilean." And he began cursing and swearing, "I do not know the man that you speak of." And immediately, the cock crowed a second time. And Peter recalled what Jesus had said, that before the cock crows twice, you will have disowned me 3 times. He broke down and wept. Early in the morning, the chief priests, having made their plan with the elders and the scribes and all the Sanhedrin, they bound Jesus in chains and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate put to him this question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "It is as you say." And the elders and the scribes brought many accusations against him. And Pilate put a second question to him, saying, "Have you no reply at all? See how many accusations these men are bringing against you." But to Pilate's amazement, Jesus made no further reply. Now, at festival time, it was customary for Pilate to release a prisoner to them, anyone that they asked for. Now, there's a man called Barabbas in prison then, who committed murder with the other bandits during the uprising. Now, when the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate for the customary favor, Pilate said to them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over. But the chief priests had incited the crowd to have him release Barabbas to him instead. And Pilate questioned them, "But in that case, what am I to do with the man that you call the king of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, anxious to placate the crowd, released Barabbas to them after having Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. And the guards led him away into the inner part of the palace, that is, the Praetorium, and they called the whole cohort together. And they dressed him up in purple, and they twisted thorns into a crown, and they put it on his head. And then they began saluting him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck his head with the reed, and they spat on him, and they knelt down to pay him homage. And when they were done mocking him, they took off the purple, and they led him away to crucify him. And they enlisted the help of a man, Simon of Cyrene, who had come in from the countryside, who's the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they took Jesus to a place called Golgotha. And there they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he refused it. And then they crucified him. And they shared out his clothing, casting lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription stating the charges against him read, "The King of the Jews." And they crucified two bandits with him, one on his right and one on his left. Now, those who were passing by jeered at him and mocked him, saying, "Oh, so you would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Then save yourself! Come down off the cross!" And the chief priests and the scribes mocked him in the same way among themselves with words, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross now, that we might see it and believe." Even those crucified with him taunted him. At the sixth hour, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those standing near heard him and said, "Listen, he's calling on Elijah." And one ran and soaked a sponge of vinegar and stuck it on a reed and held it up for him to drink, saying, "Wait, let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." But Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the centurion who had been standing in front of him, who had watched him die, said, "Surely this man was a son of God." Now, there are some women standing in the distance. Among them, Mary of Magdala, Mary, mother of James the Younger, and Joseph, and Salome. These used to take care of him and follow him when he was in Galilee. And there are other women standing there too who had come up with him to Jerusalem. Now it was late. And as it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, there came Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who himself was looking forward to the hope of the kingdom of God. And he boldly went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate, astonished that he should have died so soon, summoned a centurion to inquire if he had been dead for some time. Having been assured of this, he granted the body to Joseph, who bought a shroud and took Jesus down from the cross and wrapped him in the shroud and laid him in a tomb hewn out of a rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb, and Mary of Magdala, Mary mother of Joseph, took note of where he laid him. Now when the Sabbath was over, Mary of Magdala, Mary mother of James, and Salome went and bought spices with which to anoint him. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb after the sun had risen. And they were saying one to the other, "Who roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they got there and looked, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man seated in a white robe on the right-hand side. And they were struck with amazement, and he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was crucified? He has risen. He He's not here. See, here's where they laid him. But you must go and tell his disciples and Peter that he has gone ahead of them into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And the women went out, and they ran away, for they were frightened out of their wits. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of the Lord.
Let's begin with 273.